My name is Brad. If you don't know me, I have the privilege of serving Cornerstone Church as the campus pastor out in Airdrie. But today I'm here with you. And so it's really exciting. It's a treat. I'm actually going to be with you for this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. Then you're going to get a two-week little respite, and then I'm back again. And so it's a treat to be with you. I'm so glad to be able to share this time with you and to preach a message that God has really laid on my heart for Cornerstone Church. I'll be preaching the same message out at our Airdrie campus, right? Immediately when I'm done here, I'll have to jet to head out to Airdrie. But we're going to take a look at a three-week look at the question of where is God? Where when we look at our lives and we go through life, there are these moments where maybe perhaps you've said this. Maybe you've yelled it. Or maybe you've only just allowed yourself to think it. That you wouldn't dare verbalize it, but inside your heart and inside your soul, you question where is God. That outside you may say God is good and everything is good and I'm good and I'm blessed and everything is just the way that it should be. But inside your heart and your soul would say, okay, God, I'm saying these things, but I need you to show me something. God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, this can't be it. This life, this situation, this thing that I'm walking through, it's too hard. It's too much. These moments where we stop and we look and we say, God, where are you? What are you doing? What is the plan? What's taking place? And this is important because this is an important question. Because the way that we understand and the way that we view God and the way that we understand how God works in our lives shapes everything, shapes the way that we go through life. How we understand and how we see God in the difficult moments shapes how we understand and see God in the good moments. Because we need to have a faith that doesn't just rely on good moments. We need to have a faith that doesn't just somehow cling to good times, but a faith that as we walk through what can be a difficult season isn't rattled and isn't somehow just left barely scraping our fingernails onto some good time that happened, but a faith that as we pass through a difficult season, we're able to stand resolute in knowing who God is. Oftentimes, when we go through difficult seasons in life, we'll say to each other, and it's not wrong and it's not bad, we'll say to each other, don't worry, God's with you in this season. God's there with you. And that's good and it's right and it's appropriate and all of those things. But what I want to look at is on a deeper level, so what exactly is God doing? It's good that God's there. But it's not that as we're sitting there and everything sucks and it's terrible, things are rotten, and God's just sitting beside us and we look at him and he looks at us and he just says, I know, right? This sucks. That God doesn't just commiserate with us, and it's not just that we have someone there, but we have a God who is active and who's working and who's doing things in our lives. So it's not just that God's with us as we go through a difficult season, but there's more to it than that. And today, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three different seasons in life. We're going to look at where is God in the valleys of our life, where is God in the storms of our life, and where is God in the wilderness of life. And today, we're going to look at the valleys of life. Where is God in our valleys? And so Psalm 84 is where we're going to be today. Parts of this psalm, as I said, Psalm 84, you may have thought, I know that psalm. Maybe not. If you read your Bible, if you are an avid Bible reader or gone to church for a long time, you've probably heard snippets of this psalm. You maybe perhaps have even said or sang some of this when we would say, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord in my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And a couple verses later, it'll say, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And these will be verses that some of you may think, I know that, I've heard that, that these would be verses that we would recognize. But in between these couple of sections, there's a passage that sometimes we can skip over because we don't really always know what it means. When we quote the psalm, when we talk about it, We'll talk about the places that are familiar. But this week we're going to stop and we're going to pause in the middle and see what the Bible says. Psalm 84, verse 5 will say, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains and so covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." So where is God in the valley? Well, this passage talks about the valley of Baca. So what the picture that's being painted here is you probably have no idea about the Valley of Baca, and that's fine. We'll talk about it in a second and what that means. It is a real place. But the picture that's being painted by talking about the Valley of Baca is the Israelites traveling to the city of Jerusalem. The Valley of Baca sits to the north and to the west of Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem being at the bottom end of the country of Israel, you're probably either coming to Jerusalem from the north or you're coming to Jerusalem from the sea to the west. And so this Valley of Baca kind of sits around the north and the west of Jerusalem. And so in order to get to Jerusalem, you have to go through this valley. But it will talk about at the end, till each appears before God in Zion. Now there's a bit of a mixed metaphor taking place here because it's not a literal journey to Jerusalem. Zion is not Jerusalem. Those are two different things. As you read through Scripture, they're not interchangeable. They're not the same thing. There's a bit of a mixed metaphor going on here where they're talking about a journey, and the people of Israel, the people who read this psalm, would understand what the Valley of Baca is. And it would say, till each appears before God in Zion. And that's painting a picture of more of a supernatural journey. It's painting a picture of more till we get to the place of peace. In our understanding, it may be something along the lines, till we get to heaven. That till we get to our final destination, the place of peace, until we get to heaven. So there's a bit of a mixed metaphor going on of traveling to Jerusalem, but also on a bigger journey than just to Jerusalem, but to a place of peace. But in order to get there, to get to their destination, to where they're headed, they need to pass through the valley called Baca. And in order to get to Jerusalem, you have to pass through the valley. There's no way around it. For you, for your journey to get to Jerusalem, the Valley of Baca is inevitable. And as true for the Israelites as this was, that if you were going to go to Jerusalem, you had to pass through this valley. As inevitable as this valley is, it's the same for you and I. There's no way to avoid valleys in life. Valleys and moments where God might seem distant, where it's a little bit darker. There's no way to avoid them. You are going to experience them. You are going to have them in your life. Encouraging this morning, hey? You ready to leave encouraged that there's going to be really difficult moments in life? But well, that's the point, is we're going to explore this. Now, depending on your translation, your word for Baca may look a little different than what we had up on the screen. It may be B-A-K-A. It may be B-A-C-A. It may have an H on the end. But what you need to know is that the actual word Baca comes from a tree. But what it means when you translate it out, when you take that word and take it out of its context and bring it into an English understanding, what it means is the valley of tears, the valley of weeping, the valley of loss. That's what this valley that surrounded Jerusalem was called, was known as. So for our purpose, as we're talking about the valleys of life, this is what we're talking about. Places of tears, places of weeping, moments and times in our life where we experience deep loss. These are times in our lives when we're crying ourselves to sleep, when we're weeping, when we experience great loss, that we may say in these moments, we may say, God, where are you? Where are you, God, as I'm crying myself to sleep night after night? Where is God in the middle of my weeping? Where is God in my loss? These emotionally low moments in our lives where we're at our lowest. Valleys are dark. Literally, in the world, if you go into a valley, it's dark because the sun can't get past the edges of the valley, and there's long, deep shadows that are cast. And in the metaphor, these dark emotional moments in our lives where we're at the bottom of ourselves, we're at the bottom of our lives. Some of us here today are in valleys. You're passing through a season of a valley in your life, a season of tears, a season of weeping, a season of loss. Shadows are cast and light is being choked out, that as you look at your life, you would be able to identify with that and say, that's where I find myself now. I'm losing, I've lost, things are deep and they are dark. But also for some of us, and I think this is true for some of us, we've walked through a season of a valley. We've walked through a time in our life where we would recognize that we're in a valley, but we've started to pass through to the other side. But the season of being in a valley was so deep, was so dark, we were so emotionally raw, that it shaped our lives on the other side of the valley. That we've passed through the valley, but we continue to live with a valley mentality. That we haven't been able to shake the experiences that we've just had. We haven't been able to shake what happened in the past, and it's starting to form who we are now. And even though we've passed through the valley, we still think and we still live and we still understand life through the lens of a valley. The valley of Baca was inevitable. You had to go there. You had to pass through it to get to Jerusalem. And in order for us to get to that place of peace, you are going to have to pass through valleys. But here's the point in that. If each of us is going to have to pass through valleys in our lives, then it's not the valleys that define us. Each one of us is going to have to pass through this. So we don't look and we go, well, my life is shaped by a valley because I had to pass through. And each one of us does. So it's a commonality that we all share, is that each one of our lives have moments that are marked by loss, have moments that are marked by weeping, by tragedy. It's not the valleys that define us. It's what we do with our valleys, how we go through them, that shapes our stories and shapes our relationship with the Lord. How we pass through these things, the fact that we're there doesn't change our story with God. But how we go through them has the complete power to change and shape our relationship with the Lord. So as a church, I want us to journey through this today, that we would be able to recognize that each of our lives are marked by a valley, that we could see that it's not just valleys that shape our lives and tell the story of our lives, and that we would be able to trust and believe that it's God who gets us out of the valleys. Because sometimes we face valleys in life and we're not so sure what things are and how to get through the valley as best as we can, that we find ourselves in this place and we don't quite know what to do and we don't quite know how to get there and we don't quite know how to get from where we are to where we need to be to get ourselves out of the valley. But if we go back and look at verse 5 that we just read, it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. It doesn't say blessed are those who can get out under their own strength. It doesn't say blessed are those who kind of just figure it out. It doesn't say blessed are those who pull up their bootstraps and grit their teeth and just march through it and try and take on the weight of guilt and loss on their own and just power through and just make it through to the other end. It says blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose strength is in him, who walk with him. Far too often, in our lives, we try to get through valleys in our own strength, in our own way, and we try to do it not in God's strength, but in ours. And I think that we do this for two reasons. First, I think we try to get through them ourselves because even though we all go through valleys, even though every one of our lives will have a season of this, there's something innate about us as people that causes us to be ashamed of. That as we go through a season of loss, as we go through a season of difficulty, we don't want other people to know that that's where we are. that somehow we think that reflects poorly on us. That somehow I must have done something or I must have not done something in my life that's brought me here, and I don't want anybody else to know that things are not okay right now. I want people to know that I'm good, that I'm right, that I'm blessed. And I don't want people to know that I'm fighting it right now. I don't want people to know. And because we can see this moment of loss or heartbreak as our fault, our mess up, or our shortcoming, we need to do this ourselves. We can't go to God. I can't go to God with this, because what's God going to think? If I come to God and I say, God, I'm really struggling right now. God, I need your help. What's God going to think of me? If I come forward for prayer and I say, I need help here, what's the person praying for me going to think? I need to keep this private and personal. And somehow we prevent us from going. Somehow our pride almost in our valley prevents us from going to God, because we don't want people to think something about us because we don't have it all together. And we come and we stand and we say, I'm good, because I don't want anybody to know that I'm not good. And the second reason why I think sometimes we struggle to go to God and we struggle to come to God with this is not that we blame ourselves, but we blame God. God, where were you? God, I placed my trust in you. I did my best to follow you, and this is where I find myself. God, why didn't you? God, how could you allow this to happen? We look around at the story of our life and we find ourselves in a valley and we think, this has to be God's fault. So if God got me in this mess, I'm certainly not going to ask God to get me out. God didn't want me here. He wouldn't have led me here. So I need to get myself out. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. And in all of his knowledge and in all of his power, he brought me here. And the reality of our circumstance clouds out how we see God and his relationship to us. He isn't going to have grace for me. I can't come to him with this. I need to handle this myself. It's his fault that I'm in this mess. But the Valley of Baca was inevitable for the Israelites. And the valleys of our life are inevitable for us. So, why then are we blessed if we do it in God's strength? Well, let's look at the next part of the verse and see what Scripture says. It'll say, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. For the Israelites, the only reason that they had to pass through the Valley of Baca was not to go on a picnic lunch in the Valley of Baca. It was to get to Jerusalem. They had a destination in mind. They had a place where they were going in their heart. And this journey that led them through this valley, but it wasn't to stop in the valley. It was to keep going. They were not just out for a walk. They were a journey with a destination in mind. And in order to get to their destination, it meant sometimes you have to go through rough places. And you and I were not just alive. We're not just living, but God created you with a purpose, with a reason for being. And in order for us to get where we need to be sometimes, in order for us to get from where we are to where we need to be to fulfill this purpose, sometimes we're going to have to go through seasons that are difficult. Sometimes in order to get to Jerusalem, we have to pass through the valley of weeping. Sometimes in order for us to get where God wants us to be, we have to go through a season of loss to get there. Our hearts need to be set on pilgrimage. Jesus did this. In Hebrews chapter 12, it will say, who for the joy that was set before him, for what he knew he was trying to get to, for what he knew he was trying to achieve, for his purpose, for the grand purpose of his life, for the joy that was set before him, and that's you and me, we are his joy, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. The cross was a necessary step in his journey, but the cross wasn't his journey. And when we have our heart set on pilgrimage, we look and we say, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm called to be. But sometimes in life, I'm going to have to pass through a season of difficulty in order to get there. We need to understand we're on our journey. Our lives, our stories, they're heading somewhere. We are not, you are not, we are never just wandering through life. That's not your story. But everything we do, all our experiences, what our lives look like, it's not meaningless. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidence. We were not created to just merely exist. But you were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason. And if we allow our lives to forget that we are more than just made up of stuff, that we're doing more with ourselves than just life, it can be easy to forget that God has a destination for us. And when we pass through a valley of weeping, when we pass through a time of mourning, of difficulty, if we don't remember that we're still trying to get to Jerusalem, when we come to these valleys, it can be really hard to make it through to the other side. Because what's the point? I'm just stuck here. But where is God in all of this? What is God doing? That's great that we can know our lives are full of purpose, but where are God? Where's God? The next verse would say, but as they, those who are relying and trusting on God's strength with hearts that understand that there are more to our lives than this, pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, the valley of weeping, these seasons of emotional lowness, rawness, and weakness. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. In the middle of the valley of weeping, of the valley of loss, of tears, it says they make it a place of springs. Now, what does that mean? It has everything to do with perspective. In the middle of a valley in the Middle East, what is the most important thing you need on your journey? Water. Without water, you're done. You need to have water. If there's no water in the valley, you're finished. And what do they find when they're in the middle of a valley? Springs, pools of water. They find water. But here's the thing. It says they make it a place of springs. The Israelites didn't make the water. They didn't irrigate everything so that water would flow there. They didn't dig ditches. They discovered that there was water there. But in their hearts, in this valley, through the strength of God, they didn't just see the darkness of the valley. But the strength allowed God, or allowed them, the strength of God allowed them to see something different in this season. They didn't stop being in the valley. The valley didn't go away. The tears are still there. The loss is still there. But they can see it differently. They make it into a valley of springs because they choose and they use God's strength to help them see not a valley, but a place of springs, a place of provision, a place where God has provided. The rain that fell in the autumn has allowed there to be pools of water all throughout the valley of tears, the valley of loss. God provided for them in the valley. God provided for them before they were even in the valley. Rain fell in the autumn and it's ready for them now. They make it a valley of springs, not because they make a valley of springs, but it's how they choose to see it. The strength of God provides perspective in their life that as they're passing through this valley of loss, it's not just merely a valley of loss. They see the provision of God. They see more to this valley than just the valley. In the middle of the valley, God is still God. They didn't prepare their valley for the journey through it. God did. They don't work to make provision for themselves in the valley. God does. And so where is God in the valley? He's providing for us. He's caring for us. As we walk through these seasons of life, as we place our trust in Him, as we put our strength in Him, and we allow Him to change our perspective, we don't just see our loss. We don't just see the things that are taken away from us, but God allows us to see the things that He's giving to us, the things that He's providing for us. We're not left to walk through the valley on our own. God sustains us and He provides for us. He makes sure that we're cared for. We're given what we need, whatever we need. We are loved. As we pass through the valley in His strength that is never failing, we can see these seasons of life as more than just what they are. But we can see God. We can see His faithfulness. We can find God and we can be drawn closer to Him. Verse 7 will say, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. God doesn't have moments of weakness. There's not things that for God, He would say, I'm not so good at that. In each one of our lives, you've got stuff you're good at. And you got stuff you stink at. That's not God's testimony. That, oh man, I'm sorry you came to me with that. This I'm iffy on. I'm not so sure. I'm still working on how to do these things. God doesn't have things that aren't in His wheelhouse. God doesn't fall short on anything we need. But as we pass through the valley of life, we need God's comfort. That's His strength. We need His grace. That's His strength. We need encouragement. That's God's strength. We need someone to listen to us in the middle of our brokenness. That's God's strength. We need to see some good in something around us. That's God's strength. And then we need healing in our lives. Friends, that's God's strength. The Israelites needed water. That's God's strength. As we walk through these seasons of life, whatever we're dealing with, God is the best one to deal with it. It's His strength. All the way till the end of the journey. Till each appears before Zion. That's God's strength. And don't sleep on that last line. Till each appears before God in Zion. That's a promise for you today. Wherever you find yourself, if you find yourself in a valley, if you would identify with that and say, you know what? That's my story right now. Or if, praise God, you would say, not me. I'm not in a valley. I'm good right now. This is still a promise for you, because the promise isn't that God would watch over them until they made it just to Jerusalem. But the promise is God will watch over them until they make it to the place of peace. Until they make it to heaven. God is going to see you through. He will not let you fall. He's not going to lose you. He will carry you and He will sustain you from where you are now all the days of your life. You will never be lost by God. He will never lose you. As many valleys as you have to pass through, as many storms as you have to withstand, as many wildernesses that you find yourself in, the testimony of the followers of God is He never left me. Jesus promised that. He looked His disciples in the eyes and said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that's the word of the Lord for you this morning. That where you find yourself today, if you feel close to God, praise God. And if you feel distant from God, He would take your face in His hands like a father does to his child, and He would hold you close and He would say, my son, my daughter, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will take you from where you are and I will be with you until you appear before me in Zion. Where is God in the valley? He's walking through the valley with us, making sure we have everything we need to walk right out the other side. Let's pray.